100. Marcus. The door swung open, and Cassius strolled in. He wasn't alone. Hostis sauntered at the consul's elbow, a cold smile on his face, his two green eyes glittering like a reptile's.
Apologies?
Cassius swept a hand so that the word encompassed all present.
And gratitude for your patience.
The consul looked much the same as he had when Marcus had set sail for the Dark Shores, his lank blonde hair perhaps a touch longer, his golden skin greasy, and the air around him cloying and cold. As Cassius passed Marcus, swatting him companionably on the shoulder, a wave of chilly air came with him, receding only as he climbed the dais and sat on the golden chair.
Legatus,
he said as he settled himself against a crimson cushion.
I confess I was stunned to hear you were in the city. We had feared the worst.
Allow me to vanquish those fears, Marcus answered. My legions have the nation of Aranoquia, he gestured at the map, under our control, and we have successfully found Xenthir routes between the Dark Shores and the Empire. The chamber broke out into murmurs, silencing only when Cassius lifted his hand.
An incredible feat. And you came here yourself to deliver the news, requesting the rite of triumph.
Am I not triumphant? Marcus could feel the eyes of the senators on his back, but he kept his gaze on Cassius, noting a slight souring of his expression.
So it would seem.
Cassius tilted his head.
Now, tell us, where are the stems located?
The Pathhunter, a man by the name of Nonus, who regrettably succumbed to injury, crossed a stem near Hydrilla in Bardeen, which terminates about a day's march inland from Aranoquia's capital of Aracom. There is a Genesis stem in an abandoned city nearby that terminates in Cybern, within eyeshot of the Via Hibernus and Shelter Number 203.
I see.
Cassius rose, turning to look up at the map.
Not ideal locations.
No, but if there are two paths, there are bound to be more. Questions broke out from behind him, but Cassius waved them off.
Tell me, Legatus, how is it that you, in the lone company of your Maran advisor, came to be the one to cross into Cybern? It seems ill-advised for a young man of your importance to take such an extreme risk.
Not by choice, Consul. Shifting his weight, Marcus added, we were separated from my main force by hostiles in the Aranoquian interior, and happened upon the Xenthir stem by accident rather than design. I had the choice of risking an unknown destination or certain end, and I chose the former. Cassius clapped his hands.
What a delightfully exciting tale, Legatus. I should love to hear the particulars at a future time. Tell me, do your men know what befell you and the Maran girl? Are they aware of the existence of the stem?
To answer those questions would be speculation.
Of course. Who would be in command in your absence?
The goddess Titus of the 41st, and the 37th Tribunus. More whispers from the senators seated on their benches, along with the rustle of them shifting to bend closer to one another's ears. I will resume command once I'm returned via the Bardeen stem, Marcus said. I'd request the addition of another legion to bolster my ranks, which will allow further expansion of our footprint. And while I'm here, there is a matter of the Maran. He hesitated, the sudden silence behind him unnerving. Tariana of the Quincents has fulfilled her end of our agreement, and as such, we must uphold ours.
The Maran, of course.
Cassius held out a hand, and a lawyer stepped forward to hand him a document.
Allow me to refresh my memory.
He slowly read through the pages, nodding from time to time.
On the surface, he murmured. It certainly seems that Tariana of the Quincents has gone above and beyond what she agreed to, but...
Cassius shook his head, and Marcus's stomach dropped, because he'd known it wouldn't be so easy. That Cassius would find a way to wriggle out of the bargain.
It specifically says here that the Xenthir stems are to be viable, Cassius continued. I believe that was your own addition to the document, Legatus, and for good reason. A stem that delivered into the bottom of a lake or off the side of a cliff would be no means of retreat for your men.
Lifting a finger, he leveled it at Marcus.
As always, you show great foresight.
Foresight was not the word Marcus would have used in this moment. Not when he could see just how Cassius intended to use Marcus's own words against him. Against Tarianna.
The question we must ask ourselves, Cassius said, stepping off the dais to circle the space, forcing Marcus to turn, is whether we consider these stems in Bardeen and Cybern viable.
Has Bardeen slipped our grip so badly that we should not? Marcus asked. Do you doubt the Empire's ability to provide supplies and reinforcements?
Bardeen has been restless, to be sure.
Cassius rested an elbow against a railing.
But it is the lesser concern. What I fear is a circumstance where we, in giving up your access to the Marin, deprive you of an avenue of retreat. For while it isn't the bottom of a lake or the side of a cliff, what is two legions of young men finding themselves in a Cybernese winter but a slower way for them to die?
It was the truth. But Marcus had banked that Cassius's desire to increase the Empire's hold on the Dark Shores would be greater than his desire to keep the Marin prisoner. Judging by the way the consul's piggish eyes gleamed, he'd been wrong. And unless he could convince the Senate that he was satisfied with the stems, Tarianna, her crew, and all the Marin prisoners would pay the price.
Our position in Aranoquia is strong. A need for retreat is unlikely, but if it were to occur, we would be prepared for the elements, as if it were possible to be prepared for the dead of Cybernese winter. Half the Legion would starve, and the other half would freeze to death. Those who got out alive would probably wish they hadn't. And the majority of our fleet is intact, which would allow us to move positions within the West should I deem our position compromised.
I don't doubt you believe that to be the case, Legatus, but it feels irresponsible to leave you so exposed. In either event,
he turned to face his fellow senators,
this is a matter on which we must vote. Do you not agree? We are responsible for these young men and must treat this decision with the gravity it deserves.
The senators thumped their heels against the ground in agreement, and Marcus ground his teeth in frustration. This is a tactical decision, not a political one, and as such, it should be mine. And what would your decision be if Tarianna weren't involved? He shoved away the thought, adding, I will accept the Senate choosing not to commit more resources to the campaign until additional paths can be mapped, but refusing to honor our agreement with the Marin means the Senate's word is worth less than the paper that agreement was written on. How am I to negotiate with the nations of the West, given they will surely hear of this? Cassius stared him down, and in his eyes Marcus could see the truth. We didn't send you to negotiate.
I applaud both your enthusiasm and your honor, Legatus. But this, my friends,
he gestured to the senators, is a much-needed reminder that despite all he has accomplished, the Legatus is only 19? Or is it 20 now?
Regardless, he's little more than a boy and speaks with a child's passions.
Incredulity filled Marcus, followed quickly by fury. But before he could speak, Wex said,
Consul?
It isn't meant as an insult, Commandant.
Cassius interrupted, waving his hands in pacifying gestures.
Only a reminder that those of us with age and experience have a duty to the Empire to guide the passions of young men lest they be our downfall.
Marcus heard what Cassius was truly saying. This was not a reminder for the Senate, but for him. A reminder that he had power only because the Senate gave it to him. Which meant, in this room, he was powerless.
Direct your minds to this difficult decision, my friends,
Cassius shouted.
All who deem the path to Cybern viable and are of the opinion we should consider the contract with the Marin fulfilled, please cast your vote.
He didn't want to look. Didn't want to see the moment where he'd failed her. But this situation would be no better for his cowardice, so Marcus lifted his head, and his stomach dropped at the sight. No hands. Not a single one.
And we have our answer,
Cassius said, holding his hands out wide.
The Marin girl, Tarianna, will remain your advisor until a better route can be mapped.
As you say, Consul.
What of the matter of sending the 37th and 41st additional supplies?
Wex's voice cut through the muttering of the senators,
and all fell silent. They've long been without the support of the Empire.
The route through the Bardeen stem is yet to be confirmed.
A voice answered from the benches, and Marcus's heart skipped as Senator Valerius stood.
Surely we shouldn't risk resources until it has been proven safe.
It has, Marcus started to say, but Cassius cut him off.
A difficult thing to prove in a timely fashion with Cybern falling into its coldest months. Is it not worse to refrain from resupplying the 37th and 41st when we surely are capable?
What is it that they say in commerce?
Valerius retorted. Do not throw good money after bad.
Surely that's a metaphor that speaks to you, Consul.
The room burst out in an uproar, Cassius flapping his hands until they quieted.
You speak good sense, as always, my friend. We must ensure we have all the information there is to be had before making a decision. Shall we adjourn today, and revisit the matter tomorrow?
There were nods of agreement, and then Cassius turned on Marcus.
Obviously, you will remain in all comfort and cylindrial while we make our decisions. And if we deem it too dangerous to proceed without confirmation of the path's safety, you will remain until we can be certain your life won't be put at risk.
Leaving Titus in control of his men. My preference is to return straight away, Consul.
We will decide tomorrow, not before.
Cassius's smile was cold.
I'd, of course.
I'd be happy to offer the Legatus the hospitality of my house. It will spare him traveling back and forth to Lessendor.
The familiarity of the voice sent a shiver down Marcus's spine, and he looked up into the crowd of toga-clad men to find his father standing, one hand resting on the railing.
If you are amenable, that is, Legatus.
His heart was racing, but Marcus managed a stiff nod.
Where is Teriana?
Valerius was again on his feet, his eyes fixed coldly on Marcus. She's waiting outside. And gods, but the last thing he wanted to do was tell her that despite everything they'd done, everything she'd done, that her people remained imprisoned by the Empire.
I'd offer her the hospitality of my own home, Valerius said. She will be eager for news of her mother, and that is something I alone can provide, among other things.
I'd prefer. Cassius clapped his hands.
Then it is settled. Domitius will host the Legatus for his stay, and Valerius will ensure the Marin girl is taken care of. Adjourned.